Flynn, The Fall. It had been raining for 2 weeks. And on this particular dark, depressing morning, even the most optimistic Kitsilano health nuts were giving up early. Their knobby knees were turning as blue as their track shorts as they jogged themselves awake in the pre-dawn gloom. As for me, I was escaping the dampness of my boat tied up at the marina. Sam's cozy law office with its perpetual coffee maker was more to my liking. But before I could reach safe haven, I was intercepted by a worried Mrs. Santos. She was driving an old Honda hatchback with a housekeeping services logo.
Mr. Flynn, excuse me.
Oh, Mrs. Santos, hi.
Have you seen Tony? I've been looking all over for him.
No, not lately. Why?
I was supposed to pick him up last night at the bus stop near Westgate College.
Yes?
He wasn't there, and he didn't come home at all.
Well, maybe he stayed over with a friend.
No, not this day. This morning we had to phone Tony's mother in the Philippines. It's her birthday. What am I going to do? I have to go to work.
Okay, I'll look around. Last time you saw him, what was he wearing?
Like always, jacket, jeans, Blue Jays baseball cap.
Right.
Oh, my sweet Jesus. What do I say to my sister-in-law if harm has come to her son?
Look, I'm sure he's okay, Mrs. Santos. Just leave it with me.
Muchas gracias, Mr. Flynn.
I guess I was feeling a little guilty. It had been almost a year since I'd looked up Mrs. Santos and her nephew. Tony was one of my boys for a couple of summers when I was a parks and recreation counselor. Taught him some crafts and games, took him to a movie now and then, big brother kind of stuff. He must be 19 by now. Probably shacked up with a girl or sleeping off a hangover. Still, I figured I could track him down in a couple of hours. I owed Mrs. Santos that much. Now all I needed was the loan of Sam's car.
Don't ask me how you'll get back. You're lucky I'm driving you out here as it is.
Well, thanks for the favor.
Now, I told you I was switching Sam over to snow tires today.
Snow tires? In the lower mainland?
What?
You'd be better off with a set of life preservers.
Except for the week or two it snows.
Oh, right.
Now, how many million did the ICBC have to fork out on fender benders last winter?
Okay.
Oh, Westgate College. And where do I drop you off?
Near the bus stop. That's where she was supposed to meet him. I could use a hand.
That wasn't the deal, Flynn.
Just for a look-see.
No.
5 minutes.
Flynn.
No one in sight at the bus stop. Just a few candy wrappers and cigarette butts around the shelter. I was about to go over to the local student hangout when I caught sight of a faded old sign. It pointed out the danger of a set of rickety steps leading to the beach below. On a hunch, I walked toward the edge of the cliff, Willie in tow.
Flynn, I'm getting soaked. Oh, this brush is impossible to get through. Look, I'm going back to the car.
No, wait. That open space just off the path, you see it?
A baseball cap?
That's what he was wearing, a Blue Jays cap.
Oh. Must have been quite a fan. Look at all these beer cans.
Back here. The fence railing is broken through.
Watch yourself, Flynn. That's a 150-foot drop.
Oh, good God.
What is it?
Someone at the base of the cliff. Look, hurry. We got to get down there.
Is it Tony?
I don't know.
Oh, not so fast, Flynn. It's slippery.
A stairway of weathered planks zigzagged into the gully leading to the beach. Close by, the cliff face was almost perpendicular with a step of fractured stone pieces along the base. As we reached the bottom of the stairway and moved along the sandy beach, we came to one large block of stone. At once, it reminded me of a sacrificial altar in a Mayan temple, because Tony Santos was lying there on his back where he landed. His dead eyes stared upward in wonderment, as if he couldn't believe this ultimate insult had visited him so early in his young life.
Is it him?
Yeah, it's Tony.
Oh, God, he was so young.
It looks like he was drinking up there and fell through the fence.
You don't seem that sure.
Well, I counted 4 beer tins. I mean, why the hell would he hang around that long? I mean, at night and in the rain?
Maybe he was waiting for someone.
There's no signs of a scuffle in the brush. Of course, it's all grass up there.
Yeah, maybe he was waiting and no one showed up.
Yeah, could be. Well, the cops are better at sorting out this kind of thing. You got your cellular phone?
It's in the car.
Well, phone the police first, then Westgate Campus Security. They're pretty sensitive about these kinds of things winding up on their doorstep.
Are you all right?
Yeah. I'll stay down here with Tony.
Okay. Flynn, what about Mrs. Santos?
Oh, yeah. She's going to take it hard. I guess I'll talk to her in person after the coroner gets here.
Okay. Back as soon as I can.
I found Tony's backpack 10 feet from the impact site. Without disturbing the contents, I checked it out. Textbooks, test papers, a workbook, a chocolate bar, a tin of kokanee beer. I took a cotton jersey from a side pocket and used it to cover the boy's face. I couldn't help thinking of the happy times we'd shared. Why didn't I keep in touch? Then I caught sight of a torn 8x10 photo in some weeds near the rock slab. A bearded man in his 50s. Did this have something to do with Tony's death? It didn't look like it had been there very long, but then maybe it had just blown off a garbage truck. I stuck the fragment in my pocket so I could examine it later.
Hey, you! What are you doing down there?
This is Max Lowry, head of campus security. He was at the top of the cliff.
Oh my God, that Santos woman no sooner reports her nephew missing than someone else is stirring up trouble. This little girl tells me she's a lawyer. Who are you?
Name's Flynn, friend of the family. We found him over here.
I didn't have a chance to phone it in, Flynn.
I'll do that. Well, it looks pretty cut and dry to me. The Santos kid was drinking, fell through the railing at the top. Well, he's dead, all right.
But you knew him?
I had a couple of run-ins with him at the college, drinking mostly. Last time, he lost his job as a lab assistant. You know, these foreign kids, they can't handle their booze.
Well, maybe there was more to it than that. You'd better mark the site for a police investigation.
You telling me my job?
Hey, this isn't Westgate campus. It's a public beach.
Look, let's not make any more of this than it is. An accident. Just wait in your car. The cops can take your statements when they get here.
The man's got a point, Flynn. There's nothing more you can do down here.
The cops arrived shortly after we reached the top of the cliff. Like Max, they were just going through the motions. They'd seen it all before. We gave them our statements, waited until Tony's body was taken away in the coroner's wagon, then started back to the office.
Flynn?
Yeah?
What did you find down there on the beach?
What did I find?
Max the mouth didn't notice, but I did. You put something in your pocket just before we got to the bottom of the stairs.
Oh, damn it, I forgot. I was going to give it to the cops.
Sure you were. Let's see it.
Careful, don't smudge it. Could be prints.
That's my photo. Who is the guy?
She's wrong.
Sorry. Here, take it.
I don't know who he is. But, you know, maybe if I make some photocopies and show them around...
No. I've got a better idea. Just turn the picture over to the police and close the book on the whole thing. Tony's death wasn't your fault, you know?
Willie was right. It wasn't my fault. But I still made copies of the torn picture before I turned it over to the cops. I knew they'd just stick it in a dead-end file as soon as I left. The preliminary report from the coroner concurred with the police investigation. Tony's blood alcohol count was 1.4. Verdict, accidental death. After the initial shock, even Mrs. Santos was reconciled. I drove her to the airport to accompany Tony's body home to the Philippines.
It's God's will, Mr. Flynn. Whatever happened, we have to accept it. I come to Canada and worked 10 long years to help my family. I say to myself, Tony is the one to make something of himself.
Well, he did the best he could, Mrs. Santos.
I wanted so much for him. But God had other plans.
Well, maybe some other member of your family back in the Philippines.
I don't think so. I'll give Tony's sins to his family, then wait for a sign. Maybe I'll come back to Canada. Maybe not.
Well, I'm sorry it worked out this way. You know, maybe if I'd stayed in touch...
You are a good friend, Mr. Flynn. Why, I should have asked you if you want something of Tony's. A souvenir? Maybe the new CD player that made him so happy.
New CD player? I thought he'd lost his job.
I did also. But see, I have his bank book. $500 deposited 2 days before he died. And a canceled check for the CD player.
Well, seems he was doing better than we thought. Your plane leaves from gate 12. Here, I'll carry your bag.
Well, what do you mean it's a jigsaw puzzle? The coroner ruled it an accident, didn't they?
Still too many loose ends.
Such as?
Well, the $500 Tony deposited in his account just before he died.
It could have been his last paycheck. Well, what else?
The empty cans of beer. I mean, why was he waiting in the brush at the top of the cliff? Now, who was he supposed to meet? And the torn picture. I mean, who is that guy?
The bearded man?
That's right. Mm-hmm. See, I've shown a copy to Tony's teachers at the college and some of the students, even checked with the publicity people. No one could identify
him. Not even Max Lowry?
The security chief at Westgate?
Yeah, he seemed to know more than he was letting
on. Well, I haven't shown it to him yet.
Why not?
It has to be the right moment. He's the only suspect I got.
Well, it seems to me, Flynn, you're just throwing a bunch of random pieces of information at the wall and trying to make a story out of what sticks to
it. No, I'm not.
Yeah, but you are.
Well, the fact remains that Flynn does need to chase down his loose ends, be they phantom or real, for his own peace of mind.
Come on, Sam, this is a waste of time.
And he'll need your help, will he? I'll take over your cases for a couple of days.
Look, I'm just going over to the lab where Tony worked. I don't need her help with this, Sam.
Just take her along as a special favor to me, will you? I'm running out of time and patience with both of you.
I know you don't want me to distract you, but can I remind you of something?
Go ahead. You're going to tell me anyway.
It's snowing.
So?
Snow tires. They're still in the trunk.
Let up, will you? It's an underground garage.
Yes, but Flynn...
Have a good weekend. See you on Wednesday.
Did you see that? 3 men in prison overalls. That was a prison van.
Quick. Get back here behind the pillar.
What? Don't push. What's got into you?
The guy with the woman in the lab coat.
Yeah?
It's Max Lowry.
About a coffee?
How many times do I have to tell you I am not interested?
You were interested enough in Tony Santos when he worked here.
Let's get closer.
Oh, you're paranoid, Max.
Okay, we're close enough.
There was nothing between Tony and me.
What if I told the dean that I saw you with Tony the night he died?
That's a lie. I've had it with you.
And wait. Listen to me.
So what do you think? A lover's quarrel?
Looked more like sexual harassment to me. You sure this is the right lab?
Positive. Lab 4A, polygraph research.
There's no one here.
Well, there's got to be. I've been trying to talk to this guy for 3 days. Left messages everywhere.
Dr. Kynes?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, name card on the desk over there.
Dr. Rudolph Kynes, an American visiting professor in psychology at Westgate College, Tony's former boss. The larger control room contained an array of computers hardwired to an impressive recording device. It looked like an oversized EKG monitor or something used to track an earthquake. Ink pens were poised like skeletal fingers, ready to record their erratic patterns once the machine was activated.
That you, Mr. Flynn? I am tidying up back here in the isolation chamber. Be right with you.
That's okay. Take your time.
I could see someone through the window of the chamber at the end of the control room. a slight man with sharp features, dressed in a white lab coat.
Ah, there you are. Sorry to have held you up. You just missed a good show.
The man in the prison van downstairs?
W.P. Green, my associate.
Hello.
That's right, Ms. Green. Convicted sociopaths, confidence men, shyster lawyers, that ilk. No conscience.
Huh. Using professional liars to beat the system.
Strangely enough, some of them seem to enjoy the challenge. It's like a game to them, trying to fool the polygraph.
And how often do they fake you out?
Not too often. Oh. This unit is one of the most sensitive devices ever designed. You and Flynn here should try it out sometime.
I thought your research was classified.
It is. I mean, the results of the experiments and the like. Hypnosis, using drugs to precondition a subject, that sort of thing. But not a simple polygraph test.
That could be interesting.
We'll run a test when my lab assistant gets back. It'll make a believer out of you.
While we're waiting, could I check a couple of things with you?
Certainly. Your message mentioned the Santos boy. A real tragedy.
Well, I'm a friend of the family. I just wanted to tie up some loose ends.
Yes, well, he was a bright student, Tony, but I'm afraid he spent too much time in the fast lane. The old story, drank too much, became unreliable. I had to let him go.
Your present lab assistant, was she working for you then?
Ann Mentor, yes. She's doing postgraduate studies. Tony was just a student helper.
Could you take a look at this torn photo?
Certainly. A man with a beard. Should I know him?
That's another loose end.
I'm afraid I can't help you, sorry.
Dr. Kynes, we have to do something about Max Lowry. He is turning into a real nuisance. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were alone.
This is Flynn and Ms. Green. They were asking about Tony.
Oh, yes. That was terrible what happened.
Show her the picture.
Oh, right.
Have you seen this man?
I don't think so. Who is he?
No one seems to know, but he could be connected to Tony's death.
But wasn't that an accident?
Yeah, the police and the coroner seem to think so.
And Max Lowry.
You know Max? I hope he's not a friend.
Friend? No, I don't think so.
What say we leave the problem with Max to another time? I've promised these people a demonstration of the new polygraph machine.
Good idea. Who's the subject?
I'll watch from the control room.
Well, then you better come along with me to the isolation chamber, Flynn.
Me? Yeah, okay.
Can they hear us in there?
Nope, the intercom is switched off.
Good. I want to keep this just between you and me.
I don't understand.
Was there something going on between you and Tony Santos? We heard what Max said to you down in the parking garage.
No. Now, that's just a figment of Max's imagination. Tony was working on a paper for his psych course. I had coffee with him a couple of times. I gave him some pointers.
No relationship?
No. Tony was just a kid. He was pretty immature.
And Max Lowry?
Bordering on paranoid delusional.
Okay. Maybe I should mind my own business. So, what's going to happen to Flynn?
It's really quite straightforward. Now, you see those sensors Dr. Kynes is fixing to your friend?
The wires with the little suckers attached?
Mm-hmm. Plus the Velcro sensors on the fingers. Now, they're all linked to the polygraph machine. Uh-huh. The pens track variations on the graph paper as the test progresses. Here, I'll just turn this on at slow speed. You see the lines are flat.
The test hasn't started yet?
No, not until Dr. Kynes tells me to mark it.
What do these sensors record?
The top channel records heart rate. Now, we call it cardiotac. The next two measure skin conductance, then respiration.
Hmm.
And at the bottom, we have brainwave patterns.
Interesting. Look, one line's jumping a little.
Yes, yeah, that's strange. It's a negative response. Dr. Kynes is holding a finger sensor. He must be demonstrating something.
Yes, at Boston College. I'm wrapping up the research project here, so you see, as a visiting professor, I can't get involved in this Max Lowry business.
Mm-hmm, right.
We're ready, Dr. Kynes.
Oh, and, yes, be right with you. That's the last finger sensor.
Okay.
Only half a volt, Flynn. Nothing to worry about.
Half a volt?
Just measuring changes between the two electrodes, secretion of the eccrine glands. It's triggered through a series of stages by activity in the frontal lobe of the brain, fear, excitement, other manifestations.
Right.
Shall we start?
Okay, fire away.
All right, Anne, mark the start point with Flynn's name.
Start marked.
Now, usually, our control question when we're dealing with a suspected criminal is, did you ever commit a crime before age 18?
Oh, look at that, even before he answers.
Dr. Kynes, we've got major fluctuations on all channels.
interesting.
I'm just nervous, that's all. Maybe I stole a little candy or something. Nothing serious.
Sure, of course. Let's try another line of questioning. The picture you just showed me, do you know this man?
No.
Do you think he had anything to do with Tony's accident?
Maybe.
You have to answer yes or no.
I'm sorry, I don't know.
That's all right. We'll try something else.
It was priceless, Sam. Look at the printout. The polygraph nailed him right off the top. Any Asian court would have convicted him.
It was a trick to break the tension.
Oh, right.
But why the casual questions about the picture of the bearded man?
What do you mean?
Well, it was almost as if he was trying to find out if I was hiding something.
Well, probably just testing his new software. You know, that's where the payoff will be. Not in third world courts, no. But with big business screening employees to prevent industrial espionage.
Hey, wait a minute. Hey, look, what's this wavy line just before they started my test?
Oh, yeah. Anne said it was a negative reading. She said Dr. Kynes was holding one of the leads.
Well, you mean Dr. Kynes was caught in a lie by his own machine?
Oh, no, he was just talking to Flynn.
Yeah, but there's the interesting point now. Now, what was he talking about?
Oh, as he put on the sensors? Well, I don't know. He told me how the polygraph tied into the computer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I asked him where he came from.
Oh, yeah, we heard the part about Boston College and his being a visiting professor here.
Boston College?
Uh-huh.
Why would he lie about that?
Well, why don't we fax Boston and find out?
That's a good idea.
An hour later, Boston College answered our request. The short biography outlined Dr. Rudolph Kynes' scholastic accomplishments. Were we on a wild goose chase? Then the fax operator added a notation.
Look, here's the second page.
Professor Kynes is currently on sabbatical leave doing research at Cambridge University.
What, Cambridge?
He can be contacted care of the psychology department there.
If Kynes is in England, who's the guy at Westgate?
Now, would Kynes put out the story to cover up his classified research here?
Willie, ask Boston College to fax us a picture of Dr. Kynes.
A few minutes later, we had our answer. A black and white photo slowly edged its way out of the fax machine.
The bearded man.
The real Dr. Kynes. You've been playing games with an imposter.
Worse than that, Sam. He's probably a murderer.
Huh?
Oh, come on, Willie, we gotta get out to the polygraph lab.
Slow down, Flynn. Those are slippery.
Not as slippery as the professor. Must be getting ready to skip.
Why pretend to be someone else?
You know, to gain access to the secret research. He must be a scientist, though. Maybe he worked with the real Dr. Kynes at some time. He knows enough to be able to rip off the software and sell it to the highest bidder.
Here's the psychology building.
I'll park in the underground garage.
Oh, Flynn, there's a car coming out!
You all right?
I told you we needed snow tires.
I think we've got more to worry about.
If only Dr. Kynes has a briefcase.
And a gun.
Get out! I'm taking your car!
Easy now.
Move!
Okay. Smells of gasoline out here. You must have burst your fuel line.
Stand clear, Flynn. I won't tell you again.
Oh, I wouldn't pull that trigger. You'll go up like a Roman candle.
What?
It's gasoline. You're soaked in it. Huh? Throw away the gun.
Then what's got into you?
Tony Santos was like family to me. But this guy isn't getting away. You just twitch, and I'll use this.
Oh, my God, a lighter.
Hey, are you nuts? We'll all go off.
Ditch the gun, damn it.
Okay. There. It's gone.
What do you mean, hardly any damage to my vault?
You can take it out of my next paycheck.
The imposter's rental got the worst of it.
Hmm? Oh, so he was skipping out, just like you figured.
Well, the torn picture of the real Dr. Kynes really spooked him. He knew we were getting too close.
It took him a little while to download the research. The floppy disks and printouts were in his briefcase.
Yeah, see, with that evidence, plus our information from Boston College, the cops didn't have much trouble breaking his story.
His real name is Harold Barnes, and he's a computer data thief.
Well, did he admit to killing Tony?
Well, he fudged about whether Tony fell or was pushed, but They were fighting over the picture, all right.
Oh,
see, Tony came across it while he was doing some research on polygraphs. He threatened to expose Barnes unless he gave Tony his job back.
All that needless violence.
Well, it would have been worse if Flynn's bluff had backfired.
What bluff?
It was nothing.
Oh, taking quite a risk, weren't you? Threatening him with a lighter? With all that gas around?
What lighter? All I had was a Pez dispenser.
What?
See?
You had it.
You were bluffing with a candy dispenser? Oh, Flynn, you're mad.
Well, it worked, didn't it?
Oh.
You've just heard The Fall, episode 11 of Flynn by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Flynn, Colleen Winton as Willie, and Robert Clothier as Sam. You also heard Emmy Thompson, Roger Barnes, Brenda Critzlow, and Stephen E. Miller. The production assistants for Flynn are Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. The recording engineer is Chris Cutress, with sound effects by Joe Silva. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nichol.